Welcome to Authentic News on this fifth day of January 2024, right here on RBM Live, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. We begin with some developments in the Middle East, where Turkey has set fire to NATO's plan, burn them up. It has closed the strait to two British warships. These were minesweepers the British wanted to bring in to defeat or contain the Houthis at their interdiction of ships headed for Israel. The United States has taken out three of the little Houthi boats, but the Houthis are unintimidated. They say, bring it on. And if the United States does follow through, and we're just stupid enough that we might actually do that, the Houthis can take out the oil refineries in Saudi Arabia and wreak chaos on the Western nations by jacking up the price of gas and oil. Meanwhile, we have a recent report that NATO plans a false flag in the Black Sea to launch World War III. And there's a history of the past. Check it out.
Just about every major government has been guilty of false flag operations to foment war. America has been guilty of several, but here are just a few. Civilian passengers were murdered when a torpedo hit the Lusitania. Investigations revealed that explosives were inside the ship, which was operated by war profiteer J.P. Morgan. This event is what brought Americans, who were not previously interested in getting involved, into World War I, where they lost over 100,000 sons and daughters. They were also not interested in getting involved in World War II, but after breaking Japanese encryption codes, the U.S. government knew of their plans to attack Pearl Harbor, but the big banks were funding both sides and expected massive profits. So they let it happen to encourage Americans to sacrifice nearly 500,000 of their children in the Second World War. In August of 1964, the USS Maddox and the Turner Joy knowingly lied about being fired upon by North Vietnamese ships. For 2 hours, they fired at nothing and maneuvered as if under attack. President Johnson was aware of this deception, but kept it secret to initiate war against North Vietnam and to sacrifice over 50,000 Americans. About 3,000 people were murdered on 9/11 in the most notorious false flag in U.S. history. This was used as a catalyst for the endless destruction of several nations that continues today. Professor Stephen Starr, associate of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation, was recently on Russia's Solyevev Live, where he discussed a plan being suggested by NATO forces in Germany that stinks of plans for a false flag operation to usher in World War III. They have suggested a scenario wherein Russia sinks an American cruiser in the Black Sea, followed by the United States attacking Russian ships with nuclear warheads, which would then be followed by a Russian nuclear strike against NATO headquarters and a major U.S. nuclear attack on all of Russia. They suggested more than 3,000 strikes within 1 hour and the destruction of all major cities in Europe and the United States. Professor Starr said this would result in 150 million tons of smoke and soot that would block out 70% of the sunlight in the Northern Hemisphere and last about 10 years. It's important to note that it's been NATO forces alone who have been provoking war with Russia for decades. surrounding their border with missile systems and bioweapons labs, and overthrowing Ukraine with CIA color revolutions. The facts show that Russia has been given no choice but to defend themselves against deceptive Western aggression. The anti-human globalist forces that hold a firm grip on America are clearly trying to destroy it from within. If they wanted America to win a world war, then they would not be murdering U.S. troops with the deadly COVID shots, and they would not be manipulating them to castrate themselves under the guise of transgenderism. The globalists want the United States to be plundered and destroyed, but they need a scapegoat to blame it on, and they've clearly chosen Russia for that role. During the American Revolution, Catherine the Great of Russia unofficially supported the colonies by trading with them. Russian ships began delivering hemp, sail linen, and iron to American ports as early as 1763. During the War of 1812, Russia attempted to join as a third-party mediator in support of American independence. In 1863, Russia sent military fleets to New York and San Francisco to put pressure on the British and fight them if necessary. They patrolled the American shores for 10 months. This Russian support of a sovereign America is undoubtedly what led to the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, when the country fell into communist rule for 69 years. Today, Russia has asked for peace, but the evil powers that want endless war cannot survive unity between the East and the West. False flag operations are the modus operandi of the globalists, and war, mass murder, and division is all they desire. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
The guy's good. Greg Reese is simply outstanding. I'm very impressed by his efforts. I think he's got a ride. And the kind of nuclear winter he described there would have the potential to extinguish most, if not all, life on planet Earth. So those who are in for the depopulation agenda could get a little more than they bargained for. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, Bibi Netanyahu is invoking the Holocaust to justify the slaughter. Listen to E. Michael Jones address it.
Czechoslovakia and Hungary will have to be undertaken. They agree that any transfers that take place should be effected in an orderly and humane manner. Closed quote. This protocol extended Poland's western border 150 miles westward to a boundary marked by the Oder and Nysa rivers deep inside German territory. And in doing so, it put into motion, quote, the greatest ethnic displacement or involuntary migration of human beings in modern times, and perhaps even in the history of the human race. This is not an exaggeration. Figures vary for the total number of Germans who were forcibly displaced from their homelands in Eastern and Central Europe at the end of the war and afterwards. German statistics give the figure as 17,700,000 people, Germans, or four times the population of Switzerland in 1945. This is the total number of Germans living in the area in which the displacements took place. Their 700-year homelands in the eastern provinces of the Reich, namely East Prussia, Pomerania, Eastern Brandenburg, and Silesia, as well as the Hanseatic cities of Danzig and Memel, as well as the Bohemian Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia. These were German settlements throughout Eastern Europe, and it was estimated that 1,100,000 of these people were killed during the war, leaving 10 million as the total displaced people. The great majority, now we're talking about the Soviet army is advancing. Okay, that's the first wave of displacements. These people are disrupted. It's old men, it's women, and it's children, because the able-bodied men were all in.
Well, mind you, Habibi is citing the Holocaust, though we didn't have it quite there in what E. Michael Jones was saying. The official narrative is dramatically at conflict with the historical record. Thus, check out my The Official World War II Narrative, Historical Fact or Mass Illusion. Just begin by noticing there was a British soccer team at Auschwitz. What? You didn't know there was a British soccer team at Auschwitz? Did you know that there were woodworking shops, symphonies at Auschwitz, that there was a hospital with OBGYN facilities, that they even had a brothel? Yes. One of Hitler's generals convinced him that the men would work harder if they could be knew they'd be rewarded with sex. So they actually had brothels. Hundreds of children were born in these camps. It was totally different than we're told. Zyklon B was used as a delousing disinfectant to maintain the inmates' health for the simple, obvious reason you can't get work out of a corpse. So it's not going to do to cite the Holocaust, in my opinion, for those who are knowledgeable. Meanwhile, we have the Israelis official declaring that Gaza needs to be destroyed. I mean, in its entirety. This is quite analogous to the explanation I've given about the solution, the final solution. A member of the Lockheed Martin, the Israeli Knesset, has said it's becoming increasingly clear to Israelis that all Gazans need to be destroyed. Here you got it. He's saying it. The right-wing parties were correct about the Gaza. It's very clear. They tell you, annihilate them, annihilate them, annihilate them. How about that? That's about as clear as it can get. Meanwhile, the official ethnic cleansing in Gaza is becoming the official Israeli government policy, Antiwar.com writes. The idea of cleansing Gaza of its Palestinian population is slowly becoming an official Israeli government position. A senior Israeli official said Israel is already in discussion with Congo and other nations on absorbing Palestinian refugees. Congo will be willing to take in migrants, and we're in talks with others. Israeli officials are framing the plan as a voluntary resettlement. But the Israeli military is making Gaza uninhabitable. Besides, the massive bombing campaign has destroyed nearly 70% of the homes in Gaza. The siege has left many Palestinians facing starvation and disease, not to mention the flooding of the tunnels. But what is you and the fact that they're using neutron bombs in Lebanon and in Israel? But what's the U.S. response? No signs of genocide in Gaza, declares the United States Department of State. I mean, this is stunning. RT. U.S. President Biden's administration has rejected genocide allegations against Israel made by multiple nations, including a NATO ally. Washington insists it sees no indication West Jerusalem's forces are committing atrocities as they pound Gaza into a campaign to destroy Hamas. South Africa's government filed a genocide case against Israel last week in the International Court of Justice. NATO member Turkey announced its official support for the charge on Wednesday. U.S. Department of State spokesman Matthew Miller, however, denounced the allegation in a press telling briefing later Wednesday, saying there was no indication the IDF forces were committing genocide against the Palestinians. Unreal! Here's what he says, in part. Genocide is, of course, a heinous atrocity, one of the most heinous atrocities that any individual can commit, Miller said. Those are allegations that should not be made lightly. And as it pertains to the United States, we are not seeing any acts that constitute genocide. My God, this is absolutely unbelievable. Meanwhile, we do have what I take to be propagandistic possible terror plot against Jews thwarted in Europe. Anytime you're hearing an attack on the Jews, you can anticipate it's ADL at work with propaganda. They're trying to reestablish the victim card, which they have long since destroyed with their atrocities in Gaza and the West Bank. Authorities in Germany, Denmark, and the Netherlands announced multiple arrests of suspected terrorists last week, CNN reported. Four suspected Hamas members of allegedly plotting terrorist attacks in Europe. Count me unimpressed. I don't believe that for a second. Meanwhile, we have a report from War News 24/7, Middle East, one step before hell. Hezbollah and Iran threaten Israel for a fight to the end. That could well be coming. The double front of the threats against Israel, indirectly from the leader of Iran and the leader of Hezbollah, one day after the assassination of the second in the hierarchy of Hamas in Lebanon, as everything shows from Israeli fire, but also the many fatal explosions in a city in Iran on the anniversary of the death of Qasem Soleimani. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah Wednesday warned Israel of a fight to the end if the country declares war on Lebanon, a day after Salah al-Ari and five other Hamas officials were killed in a Hezbollah stronghold in the southern suburbs of Beirut. "We are not afraid of war. Whoever contemplates war with us will regret it," he declared. "And I'm convinced Hezbollah is going to take an increasingly larger role in this, and that Iran may be provoked into attacking Israel. And at that point, all bets are off. Israel will be destroyed." Meanwhile, Culture Wars is reporting about what's going on here. This is talking about in some counties, about political science on crucial points. John Mersheimer, for example, who is a very authoritative figure, has documented his case on several crucial points. First, Israel is purposely massacring huge numbers of civilians, roughly 70% of whom are children and women. The claim that Israel is going to great length to minimize civilian casualties and belied by statements from high-level Israeli officials. For example, the IDF spokesman said on 10 October 2023, "The emphasis is on damage and not on accuracy." The same day, Defense Minister Gallant announced, "I have lowered all the restraints. We will kill everyone we fight against, and we will use every means." Second, Israel is purposely starving the desperate Palestinian population by greatly limiting the amount of food, fuel, cooking gas, medicine, and water that can be brought into Gaza. Medical care is extremely hard to come by for a population now including roughly 50,000 wounded civilians. Not only has Israel greatly limited the supply of fuel into Gaza, which hospitals need to function, it has targeted hospitals, ambulances, and first aid stations. Third, Israeli leaders talk about Palestinians and what they would like to do in Gaza in shocking terms, especially when you consider some of these leaders also talk incessantly about the horrors of the Holocaust. Indeed, the rhetoric has led Ornan Bartov, a prominent Israeli-born scholar of the Holocaust, to conclude that Israel has genocidal intent. To quote Israel's agriculture minister, "We're now rolling out the Gaza Nakba, perhaps most shocking evidence of the depth to which Israeli society has sunk is a video of very young children singing a blood-curdling song celebrating Israel's destruction of Gaza. Within a year, we will annihilate everyone, and then we will return to plow our fields." There's really no doubt about it. And the hypocrisy, the deception, the lies of the United States are not going to win any friends. Right back. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice.
It's in the church where a wedding has been. It's in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors.
Culture Wars has published a discussion review of a new book, Israel's Friends, The Backlash Against Palestinian Solidarity by Hill Ackard. Israeli-led efforts in Great Britain to destroy the Palestinian Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, BDS, may seem little more than a sordid irrelevance when the people of Gaza are being exterminated in front of our very eyes, and yet the diplomatic warfare and the saturation bombing are connected. Both expose the evils of Zionism. Both may well presage its ultimate demise. In light of the genocide, Hill Ackard's book is all the more valuable, which provides a detailed account of the efforts of the Israelis and their fellow Jews in England, with the support of their so-called friends, to undermine the BDS movement, to frustrate its activities at every turn, and to demonize its proponents and its supporters. As if that weren't enough for one highly readable volume, Yelakin provides a brief history of the Jewish question in England since the Balfour Declaration, as well as an account of the unconscionable brutality of the IDF and the unspeakable suffering endured by the Palestinians since 1948. And it so happens that, with the title of her book, she has unwittingly provided an almost perfect summary of one side of the response here in England to the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Israel's friends are complicit in Israel's war crimes. It seems as if there is nothing the IDF can do to cause Israel's friend here in England, or should I say also in the United States, to do anything but act as cheerleaders. You've already heard the Department of State declare they see no signs of genocide in Israel. Well, they must not be looking, because they're overwhelmingly obvious. Meanwhile, Iran sees nothing in the United States other than a clown show. The U.S. Navy destroyed three speedboats operated by Iranian-backed Houthis, but it will not deter Tehran until the Biden admin starts acknowledging the danger the Islamic Republic represents.
Without endurance, the breakdowns can come.
Aha. That wasn't the break that was going on in the background. Let me repeat. This is serious stuff. We got an Air Force general commenting on how Iran is not being intimidated by the United States. Air Force Brigadier General Blaine Holt told Newsmax, "We've got to be very clear about the truth here. Otherwise, we're going to get ourselves into even more trouble. This administration has looked the other way on Iranian sanctions and let them become flush with cash. Over $100 billion in oil sale, billion-dollar payments on hostages, unfrozen bank accounts, while they just go ahead and keep enriching uranium in the background and start a regional war." I had a report today on an earlier show on Revolution Radio that Iran may already have atomic bombs, but Iran doesn't need atomic bombs to destroy Israel. Iran can overwhelm their system, their so-called Iron Dome, which turns out to be pretty flimsy, all things considered, by a massive conventional missile attack that would have the effect of destroying Israel. Get this. Pretty damn interesting. Brass Check TV comes up with all kinds of interesting stuff. Guess what? The U.S. suffers the highest maternal death rate in the developed world. You'd be safer off giving birth in Yemen than in the United States. Check this out.
Hi, everybody. As you know, we published a book called What the Nurses Saw, and it ended up being nearly 500 pages. And there were a whole lot more nurses we could have spoken with if we could have done the encyclopedia of this subject. And what we're doing now is getting to speak with some of the nurses that aren't in the book. If you think the book was eye-opening, these after-book interviews are going to blow your mind even more. They're blowing my mind. Two things. I'm learning a lot. It's funny, you write a book and you think you know something, and then once the book is out, people that know a lot more knock on your door and say, "Did you know about this? Did you know about that?" So I'm getting that from some great nurses. As people also know, I'm also learning about the surviving family members, and that's becoming a huge issue as well. Our guest today is Gail McCrae. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for spending the time on this. You said something, I believe, in our pre-roll of what we were just talking, and I think you need to tell this. It's dangerous to have a baby in the United States in a hospital, like statistically compared to other countries. We're the worst. And if you took it developed countries, we're the worst. And we say dangerous, we mean babies dying. We mean mothers dying, like dying, not just being difficult, death.
Dead.
Down to his knee. handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
I look at all the lovely people.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
In a story that's going to endure for months, if not longer, hundreds of court records linked to Jeffrey Epstein have been unsealed. Here's an early report from the Epoch Times. Prince Andrew, President Bill Clinton, and previously unknown individual are named in nearly 1,000 pages of previously sealed court records released on January 3rd in a case involving Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving a long prison term for trafficking minor girls to now deceased financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Though, as I've hinted before, and as Megyn Kelly strongly implies, Jeffrey may very well be alive and well. The first tranche included nearly 40 unsealed court filings featuring sealed depositions, emails, and other evidence filed as part of a 2015 defamation lawsuit filed against Ms. Maxwell by Virginia Guffrey, who says Mr. Epstein and his associates abused her. The case was settled in 2017. I'll tell you that Virginia is a truth speaker. I believe every word she says. Prince Andrews was identified in a filing from the unsealed deposition of Joshua Joburg, who is already known as an alleged victim of Mr. Epstein, Johanna Joburg. During the deposition, Ms. Joburg said Prince Andrew touched her breast while she was sitting on his lap, asked whether she'd ever massaged former President Donald Trump. She said no. They put the puppet on Virginia's lap. I sat on Andrew's lap. They put the puppet's hand on Virginia's breast, and Andrew put his hand on my breast, and they took a photo. There's much, much more. Epstein once told Ms. Schoberg, according to her deposition, that Clinton, meaning Bill, likes them young, referring to girls. Well, this is only the first release. There have been multiple. We have a second batch now related to the Epstein, again from the Epoch Times. A second batch of filings showing the unredacted names of people connected to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein was released on Thursday. The second batch, more than 300 pages of exhibit, mentions already known figures in the saga, including Prince Andrew and renowned lawyer Alan Dershowitz. Alleged Jeffrey Epstein victim Virginia Guffrey tried to subpoena Prince Andrew and his travel records. According to newly unsealed court records, it also revealed former President Bill Clinton allegedly threatened Vanity Fair not to publish sex trafficking articles about Mr. Epstein. The second batch of newly unveiled filings reveals that Ms. Guthrie and her legal team sought to subpoena Prince Andrew's and his travel record. The document listed Buckingham Palace as the address for the subpoena. In a 24-page document under seal, Prince Andrew was listed as a witness who has knowledge of Mr. Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell's sexual trafficking conduct and interaction with underage minors. Much, much more is going to come. We have a short piece on BitChute of mugshots of those who are involved.
Pizza time.
Wow. This is from TikTok. I'll replay it and see if I can give you some of the names, but they're going by real fast, so I'll see what I can do to pause it. Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, we got Tom Hanks. We got Hillary Clinton. We got Bill Gates. I don't know him. We got Elon Musk. We got Kevin Spacey. We got George W. Bush. We got Barack Obama. We got, I think it's the Pope. We have Alex Baldwin. We have John Podesta. We have Klaus Schwab. There are a host of others. I'm not able to identify all of them, but it's there, right there in the links for the show. Check it out. Meanwhile, and this is extremely interesting, Megyn Kelly. We're not done with Epstein yet, and we may be hearing from him directly. Megyn is doing her part, it seems to me. She's recapturing a certain stature as a journalist. We'll see what she has to say. Here you can watch her talking about right here again on TikTok, and I'm beginning to appreciate TikTok more and more.
Meeting, and we're not done with Jeffrey Epstein. I can tell you that for a fact. Can't tell you how I know, but I can tell you for a fact we're going to hear a lot more about Jeffrey Epstein in the coming year, and you may be even hearing from him directly. More on that as I'm allowed to tell you.
Directly, meaning, of course, he didn't commit suicide. That was also suspicious. The security cameras go out, and the next thing we know, he's supposed to be dead. And we have photographs of a body being taken out on a stretcher, but they're clearly not taken at the prison. They're taken in a firehouse. Here we have the Babylon Bee making its contribution to the discussion. The 10 most shocking revelations from the Epstein documents. long-awaited release of unredacted portions of court documents related to the late Jeffrey Epstein is upon us, providing everyone with the names of several prominent figures who will never face prosecution or any consequences of any kind. Don't have time to read through the unsealed documents yourself? Don't worry. The Babylon Bee has compiled the following list of some of the more shocking revelations found in the Epstein document. Number one, Bill Clinton was only mentioned 50 times. Everyone figured that number would be way higher. Two, the Blue Temple had a series of puzzles, enemies, and locked doors you had to overcome before you could obtain the sacred gem and proceed to the next temple. It was challenging, but there were reportedly multiple save points. Three, the most frequent visitor to the island was a guy named John Doe. What a sicko. Four, all the billionaires kept accidentally grabbing Bill Gates' boobs. Gates is rumored to be cooking up a new virus to get revenge. Five, visitors were surprised to find out the island had Mr. Pibb instead of Dr. Pepper. What a disappointment. Six, Chris Christie was banned from the island after the buffet incident. Rumor has it the island was never able to fully restock the kitchen. Number seven, David Copperfield was unable to make his name disappear. Some magician is he. Eight, Stephen Hawking claimed to believe he was visiting Einstein Island. Professor Hawking also claimed to have only received a tire rotation while on the island. And I find his inclusion here very, very peculiar, because Stephen Hawking is confined to a wheelchair, so that tire rotation would have been on his wheelchair. Number nine, the island served as a research headquarters for the Dharma Initiative. Visitors were still unable to ever discover why there were polar bears, underground hatches, and strange whispers on the island. 10. Epstein actually did kill himself. Who knew? This is sure to be only the tip of the iceberg. Someday soon, there may be a full release of the names of people who will never be arrested and get away with hideous crimes scot-free. The Babylon Bee has a knack. Meanwhile, as I said before, this point made by Edwin Meese that that Jack Smith was not properly appointed apparently is now already in court. Here's a story about it. If I can skip through the ads, which
is a career denying mistake of Jack Smith to ever get involved in this case. Remember, he tried to jump the appeals court to get to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court pushed it back down. So now his appeal on Trump, if he has immunity, is going through. Okay, that's the backdrop. However, what just got added to the appeal case, I'll explain it to you during the whole episode, and it starts right at the beginning here at a tweet on the lounge, but I think this busts Jack Smith, a little bit of Merrick Garland, but Jack Smith could lose his job, his entire career right here. If the judges have a head on their shoulders, they will do exactly that. Welcome to Doug and Exile. Let's go. Okay, so first this tweet, this is from FOIA fan, Freedom of Information Act fan. Cool. Ed Meese's amicus brief has been accepted in the Trump appeal challenge Smith's standing, and the court has directed the parties to be prepared to argue the issues raised by the amicus brief. This has been accepted in court, into the appeals court, and now they have to talk about Merrick Garland's fraud appointment of Jack Smith.
This is going to be devastating. That's just a wonderful piece there. I encourage you to check it out. Meanwhile, CNN got caught red-handed in a foul play to promote Nikki Haley to beat Donald Trump. Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy called out CNN for separate acts of election interference with the intention to boost Nikki Haley as part of the Washington, D.C. swamp quest to defeat Donald Trump. Ramaswamy revealed that CNN demanded his campaign take down video clips of a December CNN town meeting event Ramaswamy participated in, while allowing Haley to keep clips of her carefully staged CNN event when she attended over the summer. CNN's egregious interference with the Iowa GOP caucus is offensive, Ramaswamy posted on social media. My own CNN town hall with the voters here went so well, they cut it off early and then threatened our campaign with a cease and desist for posting it on YouTube. While Nikki Haley's scripted CNN town hall from 6 months ago is still up. He's got it right. I do like the guy, notwithstanding concerns that are being raised that are worthy of investigation. Meanwhile, Melania Trump has hit Jack Smith with a curveball, as described. Namely, Melania, who did not campaign with the Donald the last time around, now feels more comfortable joining her husband on the campaign trail, as the family believes Donald Trump has a clear path to a second term. Trump and his family are so secure he'll become president again that insiders at Mar-a-Lago say he's reached an agreement with wife Melania to step up top-tier diplomatic appearances in 2024. Melania's well-received appearance at former First Lady Rosalynn Carter's funeral, where she sat next to Michelle Obama, also boosted Melania Trump's confidence. And of course, as I'm telling you, more and more reports are coming out that Michelle Obama is actually a man. They're showing photographs before he had his breast implants. They're reporting how he changed his registration from male to female when Barack was elected to the presidency. Here we have a report about Democrats trying to take out Marjorie Taylor Greene by swatting her home. I mean, it's happening again and again and again that they're calling SWAT teams to her home. This is very, very bad. Swatting occurs when someone calls the police and falsely reports a life-threatening situation at a home of someone they want to get even with, and the police will send a SWAT team to the residence. There are examples of this prank turning deadly as police believe the threat and forcibly enter the home and kill the innocent victim. Green reported on social media this is the eighth time she's been swatted this year, but that the FBI refuses to lift a finger in trying to track down the leftist seeking to trick police into killing her and her family. This is how disgusting it's got with the Democrat Party. Meanwhile, Biden's political appointee has resigned over his support for Israel. And in an open letter announcing his resignation, a senior education department official slammed President Biden for supporting Israel's war in Gaza. In 3 months, Israeli forces have killed tens of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza and pushed hundreds of thousands to the brink of survival. Trang Habush, special assistant in the Education Department's Office of Planning, announced his resignation in a letter published Wednesday. He's a political appointee as well as a Palestinian American. In the letter, he explained he campaigned for Biden in 2020. I cannot stay silent as this administration turns a blind eye to the atrocities committed against innocent Palestinian lives in what leading human rights experts have called a genocidal campaign by the Israeli government. He's, of course, got it exactly right. There's really no doubt about it. Meanwhile, Biden has made a secret move by fast-tracking illegals from a nation to enter the country. This is just one of many, many moves. New reports are coming out that'll generate more questions for Biden. It seems he's let in one particular group that'll have many Americans worried. He even went out of his way to not question them. From the Daily Caller, the Biden admin drastically simplified the vetting process for Chinese illegal immigrants in April of 2023, according to an internal U.S. Customs and Border Protection email. The scaling back of the interview process fast-tracked the releasing of Chinese illegals into the United States by making it more difficult for CBP agents to identify national security threats. But then again, that's exactly what this is all about. I reiterate, if you imagine Bibi Netanyahu is our commander in chief, that can explain the allocation of American armed forces in both Ukraine and in Israel. Because remember, the war in Ukraine really was designed to create a new Israel for the transportation of the population, which are descendant from the Khazarian population of modern-day Ukraine. And it's the loss of the war there to Russia that, in my estimation, has generated the massive ethnic cleansing. They want all of Israel for the Jews, none of it for the Palestinians, even though the Palestinian claim to the land is roughly 3,000 years, that there's only 75.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Sun, I say it's all right. Darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
Just a few more stories before we turn to take your calls during the second hour, Michigan Governor Hochul has signed a bill creating a reparations committee. Another liberal-led state has formed a commission to investigate the possibility of paying reparation to black residents, whom I would add were never slaves, by taxpayers who never owned slaves, in a misguided effort to remedy a non-existent problem. Tuesday, New York Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul signed a new bill creating a committee to consider whether reparations should be paid to certain people for slavery. I think the answer is obvious without passioning the committee. The community commission that's been created will study slavery's history in the state, as well as what a reparation payout might look like. Yeah, good luck with that. In fact, most Americans are in a terrible straits financially, and the idea of giving away more of their money for a non-existent problem isn't going to go down well. Meanwhile, the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, has displayed a disappointing lack of backbone, vetoing a critical bill designed to safeguard children from harmful and irreversible transgender medical procedures, as well as prevent male-born transgender individuals from unfairly competing in girls' and women's sports. The Enact Ohio Saving Adolescents from Experimentation Safe Act had sailed through the state legislature with overwhelming support from DeWine's own party, the Republicans. However, the governor's inexplicable decision to side with the radical leftists and the transgender lobby has left many scratching their heads. Maybe the Epstein revelations will explain it for us. Somebody's got something on him. Meanwhile, woke Disney gets nightmare news where the Mouse House has just suffered a crushing defeat. Get this. Not so long ago, Walt Disney Studio was the most successful Hollywood enterprise. That was especially true for its animated films, which dominated the box office for generations. But the top movie studio has stumbled recently as its progressive woke agenda has come to light. Americans have ditched Disney in droves, resulting in major box office flops. How bad was it for Disney in 2023? Not only were they not the most successful studio, but another company had a bigger animated movie of the year. Daily Wire reports, Disney is the top-performing movie studio in 2023. Universal overtook Disney to steal the top spot from the House of Mouse, thanks largely to big hits last year, including the Super Mario Brothers movie, Oppenheimer, and M3 Gain, per a Variety report. These and other projects brought in a collective $4.9 billion worldwide, pushing Disney into second place. This is the first time Disney hasn't been the highest-grossing studio since 2015. A ray of light? The Florida Attorney General has called for a halt to all COVID-19 vaccine inoculations. Right back, taking your calls.
I just need someone to love.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com.
Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.